I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. Last time we met, everything was good in the hood in Chicagoland, and since then, it is just not good. So I want to talk wrestling and forget about everything going on in the sports world, and that's what we're going to do. And, you know, possibly the biggest superstar that could make you forget anything came back around on Friday. I was working, and obviously, like, Pat McAfee opened the show on SmackDown on Friday, and I thought of it, like, oh, they must be in debt, because I didn't watch the title card. I kind of didn't care where they were, right? So I was like, oh, well, I guess they must be in Denver, because Pat has game day tomorrow. That would make a lot of sense. Prime is playing, yada, 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 and I didn't really think of it, because it's like, I wasn't paying attention to First Take. I have limited my Stephen A. Smith usage since I read his autobiography. I don't know if anybody has ever made me hate them more after reading their autobiography, but there you go. So, like, I didn't even put two and two together that he was on First Take. Like, I knew he was on First Take, but I wasn't really, like, cognitively thinking about it in the time. And all I heard while I was sitting on my computer, you know, it's that instant reaction, the glass breaks, pop. And, you know, all you hear is, if you smell. And my first reaction was, this son of a bitch would come back around when his cousin's not there.
He's scared.
Why are you ducking your cousin, Roman? or Rock? Every time Roman not around, you want to pop up.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because, like, I realized, you know, because McAfee was doing a show in Boulder and Rock showed up on it. And it was like, well, I know SmackDown's in Denver tonight, but, like, you wouldn't just have The Rock show up unannounced. Like, you advertise that, and he's one of the guys that can, you know, pop a number for you. And then, you know, I figured Pat would be there unannounced. That wasn't surprising. It was just like, well, okay, cool. Pat's here. You know, hopefully he doesn't do commentary. And then he didn't, and that was good. And then, yeah, just, you know, Rock showed up, and it was like, wow, shit, like, that's out of nowhere, because we didn't see him since the first SmackDown on Fox, I don't think, so it's been 4 years.
About,
like,
4 years.
So, I mean, I know the pandemic took out a lot of that, but, like,
He didn't come back once they came back into the crowd, so. But you say you might want to advertise The Rock, and, like, I feel you, but ain't the best Rock moments when he arrives unannounced?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, and we get so few, like, surprises like that in wrestling, too. Like, I had a hunch he'd be there, but it also, like, he could have just stopped backstage and that would have been that, too. Like, I didn't know that he was going to come out and be on the screen. So it was cool. And, I mean, you know, Theory's a good guy for that. It's interesting that they seem to see Theory as, like, this kind of big time guy still, where he's basically just Baron Corbin now, where, you know, you bring a heel in or a big baby face in to just shit all over him. But, you know, yeah, really fun segment, though. You know, Rock just played the hits. I mean, he knows what he's doing at this point, obviously. And it's always cool, too, when he comes back on SmackDown, just because, like, that was his show for, you know, the first 2 or 3 years or whatever it was around. And, yeah, I mean, you know, when he comes back on Raw, it kind of is what it is. But, like, it's always different when guys come back on SmackDown. Like, you know, Ray getting drafted back to SmackDown was cool. Brock, you know, the couple times he's been on SmackDown's always been cool. Like, it's just, it's different.
Yeah. And you say, you know, they to advertise at the pop and number, they more than likely would have done that if they did. But that was still, I believe, the second most watched SmackDown of the year. And they did get about 2.8 for that quarter when The Rock showed up. So I guess word of mouth kind of helped them there. I was wondering myself if they were going to hit 3 million because of word of mouth, but they didn't get quite to that level. But still a really strong number. They had about a little less than 2.6. The Bray Wyatt tribute show was the most watched of the year so far, 2.678. As far as that, I mean, it was cool. I actually, embarrassingly so, I dozed off because I was tired that day. I dozed off about 5 minutes before the show started, and I woke up at 7:20. And the first thing I see, of course, is The Rock talking to Austin Theory. I'm like, what? Because before, I think it was Sean Ross Sapp who said that The Rock and Pat McAfee were going to be backstage, but they hadn't confirmed that. So it's like, you're thinking like, okay, are they just planting that to get some buzz around the show? Are they, like Rob said, is The Rock just going to be backstage and say hi to everybody and that's it? Because that could have just been it, and that would have made all the sense in the world too. So you kind of rule it out. And in that regard, they pulled a fast one on people on the internet, which is always fun when that happens. Rock obviously coming back was fun. You know, while it was fun, I think people immediately jumping to conclusions thinking that they were going to do Rock Roman at WrestleMania 40. A little too presumptuous for me. I'll throw that back to you guys because I know that was a hot topic of discussion this weekend.
Yeah. So, again, I'm just like scrolling through Twitter in the lead up before it, and I saw the clip from First Take. That was really all I saw was Rock coming out and getting the bow and salute from Dion, and then saying, oh yeah, I could have been at WrestleMania 39. I wanted to do it. Yada, yada. It was all there, but you know. And I'm sitting there like, does anybody throw out the idea that maybe Dwayne Johnson is lying? Because who has Dwayne Johnson become very close to because of the wrestling industry? Probably the biggest liar to ever lie. So he might have learned a little bit about embellishment and projects that could have happened but didn't. Again, like 40, I always thought was probably an ideal possibility, if for only because Rock came back to do WrestleMania in Miami, which he considers his home now. He played high school football in Bethlehem, Lower Marion, I believe, which is outside of Philly. So if he wanted to do a sort of homecoming to where he went to high school, graduated high school, propelled him to Miami, then led him to WWE, he could do that. The only thing is, like, I don't see the avenue of it unless you do they main event the first night, Roman Cody main event the second night, because that's what it's leading to. That's what TV has been leading to this whole time. I don't see how one Rock drop or the strike means now we got to delay this another year, or now we got to finagle Rock into this somehow. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And like the whole, I was going to do it, I don't know what happened. Like that doesn't really hold up, because like you're The Rock, and if you said, hey, I want to do this, you know, I want to face dark. Roman in Hollywood, like it's going to be massive business. Like I think either the first or second match with Cena, that's still like the highest WrestleMania gate that they've done, at least since they, you know, came back from pandemic and raised ticket prices and all that. But like that WrestleMania did huge business, and like obviously Rock and Roman would do huge business too. They wouldn't just turn that down. I mean, like a year before, Stone Cold came and said, hey, you know, I want to wrestle again, and they made it happen. Like if you say that, they're gonna make it happen. So it's interesting in that regard. And yeah, I mean, he clearly likes to embellish things a bit. We saw it with Black Adam, the whole fallout from that. It is what it is, man. Like, do I personally want to see Rock and Roman? I guess, like, everyone seems to be forgetting the second Cena match, though. Like, the first one's very good. The Punk match at Royal Rumble is very good, but then the second Cena match, he gets hurt like a minute into it, and that was, what, 11, 10 years ago at this point? Like, am I going to believe that he's going to – and he's got to go out and work, you know, 30, 35 minutes with Roman, because that's just what Roman matches are, especially in the main event. Like, or you kind of diminish Roman's whole thing and have it be a 15-minute match, and it's just not worth it then. So, like, do I think they could do it?
Match, you know what that turns into? That turns into WrestleMania 36 or 38. It turns into a 14-minute, really mid-match.
And like, so do I think that in the right circumstances they could do it? Yes. Do I think it needs to, like, I think it's big no matter when and where you do it. Do I think it needs to be for the title? Not really. So that's kind of the other thing. Like, but you're also at this point, like, running out of time when you can do this match, because, I mean, Rock's getting older, obviously. That's the one thing that you can't beat is, you know, your age. And the thing with Austin coming back is, you know, it was a match suited to, you know, he didn't have to do too much. Like, he looked like he was doing a lot, but he really didn't have to. And if you're in a main event with Roman, you know, Roman can carry it, but, like, you have to be there and be willing to, you know, take on a lot of it as well. And like I said, it's going to be a 30-minute match. It doesn't feel like a reasonable expectation for The Rock at, you know, 52 or whatever he is, 50, whatever he is.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I love to see Dwayne come back. Every time he comes back, it's just, I don't want to sacrifice the story. Let me find a different word. I don't want to sacrifice where they're going on television for simply just to get Rock Roman out of the way. Like, I'm in the minority. People, I need folks on Twitter to stop doing this shit. X, whatever you want to call it. Stop doing this shit where you're like, oh, we saw Cody and Roman this past year. We know what that's like. Y'all really don't want to see Roman Rock? No. Let me be the first to stamp that. No, I don't. I don't want to see that more than the Cody and Roman.
The Cody and Roman match was excellent.
Wonderful. Masterful. Theater. It was great. And you know what could be even greater? Part two, the sequel.
Yep.
So, like, why do you want to sacrifice the sequel just because you want to see Dwayne? I love Dwayne. I'm never going to stop loving Dwayne in the WWE uniform or ring. Fact of the matter is, one possibility isn't greater than the other.
Exactly. Plus, like, I think the other thing, it's hypocritical because, you know, when it was Goldberg or whatever, it was, oh, you know, we can't have these part-timers in here all the time. And, you know, or even Brock, you know, a few years ago. And it's like, well, I mean, that's what The Rock would be doing. There's just like, there's this weird discourse around Cody, I guess, because he didn't win at WrestleMania or whatever, which, you know, I've been guilty of it too. But like,
and maybe I've fed into this at a certain point. People like believing that Cody's a loser.
Yeah.
Like a real life loser. People like believing that Cody's a real life loser. And I think it's unwarranted in a lot of ways. Like, yeah, does he do some lame shit like that promo he once did? Cool. Yeah, fine. But like, human being wise, there's a lot of other lame ass people in WWE that folks don't throw their vitriol towards. And, you know, Cody's going to be, or if he's not already, Cody's the biggest baby face in the company. You know, and going to be for the next few years. So folks want to play this game as if Cody's a dork or Cody's like, you know, it's cool to dislike Cody. No, it's not. It's really lame.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, and when Cody does beat Roman, you know, probably WrestleMania next year, like, it'll still be a big moment. We've talked about that quite a bit. Like, and then maybe you do Roman and Rock after that, like, you know, SummerSlam or whatever. It's still a big match. Honestly, no matter, like,
I was just thinking that Rock Roman doesn't have to be a WrestleMania match. That screams Summer. If it's not for the title, that screams SummerSlam. A big SummerSlam match.
Is basically WrestleMania now anyway. They run football stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Make it big. You want to do it. And make it huge outside the country and shit. Make it big. You can go back to the UK if you want. You can go to fucking Samoa or whatever. Rock want to throw all the money at Hawaii, not his money, but your money. Then go to fucking Hawaii or something. Make a big thing out of it. Don't gotta be WrestleMania to do it. The other big WWE story. What was the other big WWE story? I'm blanking right now. Before we get to the two NXT ones.
John Cena's back.
John Cena's back. I was thinking Sale, but like, whatever. It's TKO now. You guys know it.
Really nothing really changed. I mean, there were...
Nothing really changed.
Corporate layoffs, that's a bummer, but...
Corporate layoffs sucked. Thank God nobody, like, seriously got... I had no idea that Jamie Horowitz was at WWE.
Yep. He sure was.
When did that happen? I didn't believe that either.
I think it was right before... It was pretty recently, I think.
Had to be a Tony Khan move, because what the f...
Yeah.
Y'all know what this man been doing?
Yeah.
Multiple companies? What?
Yeah, it's not great.
Big
they got rid of Dana Warrior, too, which I didn't know she still worked there.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She can go work for Newsmax.
I feel bad for, the downwind people, but all the executives got giant bonuses and stuff. I mean, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Also, unrelated to the cuts, we got to see a little bit more of Lacey Evans than a lot of people wanted to. anyway, back to John Cena. Cena's been back for a little while. I think he came back earlier this month at Hershey. And it sounds like he's doing a circuit. He has nothing else to do. The actor's strike, the writer's strikes have shut down Hollywood. So Cena's going to be wrestling for a while. And this is probably the longest that he's been around. I want to say since 2017, 2016, something like that. It's cool to see. And they got him working it looked like they were going to have him doing something with Miz. I don't know if that's still happening or if that was just like something that they were building towards the Super Showdown, the India show or whatever. But at least on SmackDown, he's going to be on SmackDown a lot and he's going to be working Bloodline. So it looks very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems from how last week ended, it seems like they might do Cena and AJ against Jimmy and Solo at Fastlane, which I mean, that's a perfectly fine, main event, co-main event for a show in Indianapolis. Like
and
it's not
I
an
love that
show.
Hodgepodge of a tag match. Cause two big rivals in that era. And of course the two dudes who held up WWE and TNA in a tag team match. I had to explain that to my girlfriend the other day and I got so giddy getting to explain that. Like you have to do that. You have to do that.
Also, like probably one of each other's top three or four opponents too, just based on the series they have. So it'd be cool to see him tag. And it seems like they're going to do Roman and AJ in Saudi, which is the beginning of November. So it makes sense to get to it that way too. It's cool that Cena comes back. He's willing to put guys over. I mean, it was theory last time. Hopefully it's, Grayson Waller or whatever, ultimately this time, since he's actually good.
Yeah.
It's cool that he's back. He's still just doing the Cena stuff. Never gets old, which is interesting because if you told someone that, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that he's still just doing the same thing in 2023, then old. The reaction would have been very interesting.
Nah, I would go so far to say the hits of John Cena performed better than the hits of The Rock to me. Only for the fact, and I didn't bring this up for Rock, I didn't think that needed to be a TV segment. Or it doesn't need to be a SmackDown segment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watched it, they just cut the audio on the live feed.
Yeah, that was
back,
unfortunate.
And if you watch back the YouTube, they just fill it with crowd noise. It's terrible.
Yeah,
I'm sure the live crowd had a lot of fun. But if you were sitting at home like, wow, this is wonderful. I can't hear them chant. This is so cool. That wasn't fun for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. This Cena stuff with Grayson Waller though, it's hitting, and I do see like that should be maybe your WrestleMania goal is like you start setting it, and then come back around to it. But yeah, he's doing Jimmy, and I guess the word on the street is he's doing Solo at the Royal Rumble, and I think that's huge for those two because right now like Jimmy's not believable as a heel, and so Cena has to be there to help get him to flip that switch of being a mid-card to top tier level heel. Solo is going places. And so for Cena, for Solo to get to work, Cena is massive for him. He's going to pick up a ton of experience. So it's from my end, it's dope to see Cena using this time to put the experience where it needs to. And those three people, because he could just be coming back and doing whatever the fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
NXT, we have some shakeup in the women's division. Let's start with the champion. It's no longer Tiffany Stratton. It is now Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch sent people into a tailspin last week when she won the NXT championship. She already has a title defense. Natalia, I guess. You know, good for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, Becky completing the four horsewomen arc. All four horsewomen are Grand Slam champions now. Yeah, man, it's you know, for me, like, of course, SmackDown popped a rating, and that's ultimately what you want. But the division there has not really been strong for me. And I think Becky, you know, not really having anything to do on Raw, being able to go down there and help some ladies along is going to be so much more beneficial for them. So,
yeah, I think that, you know, with Tiffany's reign, it was, everyone obviously had a lot of hype going into it because she's done really well as a prospect down there. Mm-hmm. But I think before that, the thing with the stuff with Thea Hall was fine. It wasn't like anything like mind blowing, which, you know, you don't really have super high expectations for a 19, 20 year old against a 25 year old who's only been doing this for 2 years. But either way, if you want to make somebody, you have to put them against somebody who can make them. And Becky is the perfect person for that because she's not only somebody of legendary status, but also somebody who has prided herself seemingly, you know, through her work in always trying to give back, helping people get over even while she beats them. You can look at her stuff with Liv Morgan as a prime example of that. And, you know, this thing with Tiffany is only going to help her out even more. And I know people were irritated, I guess, by the fact that Becky won. It's probably a small subject section of people online, as always. However, I think that it's very clear that, you know, when you have someone like Becky, someone who's a NXT wrestler shouldn't just beat her on the first try. It doesn't really work that way.
People were lying.
Yeah.
Last week. People were lying their fucking ass off last week, talking like Becky ain't been that. It's really crazy to me.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads to like, yo, if you don't like people, we don't have to go to great lengths to try to diminish what they've done, or try to put like the last couple of years of like, you know, sputtering feuds against them. We know what Becky Lynch is. It's the reason she's been champion for multiple times. It's the reason that she had the big spot with Bianca last year, you know, being able to, you know, hit that switch on a dime from getting crazy cheers on your comeback to being the most hated woman next to Charlotte Flair in the company. The value is astronomical. And so to sit here and say that Becky Lynch ain't that is wild to me. But it's wonderful for that division that she's champion. And if she sticks around, I know the perfect person that she could drop it to. Yeah, she could, you know, drop it back to Tiffany Stratton. And like, I'm not going to hold you. Tiffany Stratton's nice. Like, she did that moonsault and that was, it was clean.
Yeah.
It's a clean moonsault. It was a great match. Like, I sit and watch like the overrun on like near silence because I was with my girl and I'm like, yo, this is really good. Tiffany Stratton, you know, she's working like this with Becky Lynch on the first try. Like, she's got something there. So like, she could drop back to Tiffany Stratton, or she could drop back to the Performance Center's newest recruit, Jade Cargill, coming in to WWE. Worst kept secret is that Jade Cargill is going to be a WWE superstar at some point. It just came a little bit sooner than later. And let me preface this by saying she absolutely needs to be at the Performance Center. So let's keep her at the Performance Center for as long as we can. Like, let's make sure we get ready to strap a rocket on her.
Yeah.
But she needs to be working. She needs to be bumping. She needs to overall become a better performer. And, you know, someone throughout the possibly split in time, Ron and NXT, kind of like a couple people do. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, because you know, Dave said earlier today that they're kind of like fast tracking her a little bit. Like they're working on, he called it high priority creative. So probably closer to like what they did for Kevin Owens compared to, you know, some of the newer people that they've brought in recently. And I think that's a good idea.
It seems like Dragon Lee might be on that too.
Yeah, he's working Dom on Raw next week. It's crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
And I think that's kind of the plan. That's a good plan. Like, she's been on national TV, obviously. I don't know. I think she's good. I think she's very good. I think she hasn't really been challenged as a worker as much as she should have, because they really leaned so heavily on that undefeated streak where they were just kind of feeder jobbers. And the biggest thing about WWE is, you know, the top women in the division will actually work with her. And that didn't happen in AEW for any number of reasons. You know, she never faced Britt, she never faced Tony, you know, and it's just, that's not how WWE really does things. She's not going to be on an island. Like, do I think she could, because NXT's got the women's breakout tournament coming up or whatever. I think that's a great place to debut her, you know, have her win it. Because that'll kind of be
the only issue with that, it starts next week. That's the only issue.
You could, it's
just like, if you could, but I would understand if they didn't include it, and just they could spin it back to how they used to do it, have her show up in the crowd in No Mercy in Bakersfield.
Yeah, maybe make her first big match like Halloween Havoc or whatever. I mentioned doing Halloween Havoc because Halloween's on a Tuesday anyway.
Yeah.
So
they are. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe have her show up there. Like, I think the breakout tournament would be fine because she's probably good enough worker to get through something like that. It would just not be super competitive matches for her, which I think that's fine in a tournament like that too. Just kind of have her run through it, and that's a good way to get her over. But, you know, listen, she's not going to be around the title while Becky has it, I don't think. I think that's a big match that you could do, you know, at a main roster pay-per-view. I don't think you're gonna, you know, use that on NXT, but, you know, there's plenty of options. It's very exciting. You know, we're just not used to people jumping from AEW to WWE. We're still so used to it going the other way after, you know, it got crazy in those couple of years. But it's cool to see the potential's there. She's got the tools. And, you know, for as much as people say, oh, you know, the Performance Center doesn't do anything, they have a pretty great track record with the women. So, and the whole, oh, the Performance Center doesn't do anything talk comes from, you know, my favorite wrestler wrestled a certain way, not on national television, and I still want them to wrestle like that. So even the whole, that whole thing is, you know, a flawed argument. But with the women, like I said, just incredibly successful. And I think they really have a chance to do something here. And she could be kind of part of that next generation. I know she's not as young as you think, but she still has the longevity and clearly enjoys wrestling. I mean, she doesn't have to be wrestling. She's got plenty of other things going on, and she could just, you know, do those, but she enjoys wrestling. So you might as well make the most of that. And, you know, AEW, there was a ceiling for her. I think she hit it. WWE, there is still a ceiling, but it's much higher, and you can do much more with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah, and I think the really interesting thing for me at first at least, because I'm not expecting, you know, anything in grand style quite immediately. I'm mostly intrigued to see what the reactions are going to be. I'm not expecting a lot, but that's only just because of how things have typically worked. And I was thinking about this, and it's like, this isn't to diminish her at all or whatsoever. I'm just trying to set a level of expectation for myself and not for others to follow, but just in general. The crossover audience with WWE and AEW is probably pretty thin. And then you think about the people who are in that subsection who are into women's wrestling and into Jade Cargill. They didn't really get to see a lot of her. They didn't get to see what she could offer. I know that there's a lot of, obviously, online adoration for her, as there should be. But I'm mostly interested in seeing how people are going to take to her when she gets up to the main. I'm not concerned about NXT because she's going to be in front of 250 people who are probably dialed into every rumor in America. Yeah. So I'm not concerned about her NXT reactions. I'm going to be really intrigued to see what happens on Main, because I generally think that people are absolutely going to gravitate. I just don't know if it's going to be right away, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think a really good spot, like, just kind of keep her in NXT for a while. When the Royal Rumble comes, you know, have her show up there, have her be in the match, kind of show what she can do. I think, you know, that crowd will know her. There's still a good fly-in crowd for the Rumble, which is in Tampa, by the way, at Tropicana.
Unfortunately.
So you have fun if you're going to that. but, yeah, I think that's a really good spot for you. It's in Florida, too, where obviously she has wrestled the most, so she's got fans there. And so, yeah, and it like I said, it'll be interesting to see kind of what their plan is, because, you know, if Tiffany wins it back from Becky, do you go right to Tiffany against Jade? Probably not. I don't think either of them can really carry a match.
No, I don't think so either.
Title program, at least. So
not yet.
But, you know, there's honestly, I think a good like first feud for her is Dana Brooke, which is funny. But I mean, she's been there for, you know, 7 or 8 years. Yeah. She knows what she's doing. Like, I don't like her. She's not good. But like, you know, in that setting, I think she could be almost like a poor man's Natalia.
No, I don't hate that as an option.
Yeah, plus it's an established person that Jade can beat, and, you know, it'll be fine. Like, it'll get her going. So it'll be interesting.
It surely will.
Indeed.
All right, lots to talk about, but we still have to get through the month of September in 2007. Another month of John Cena's reign as champion. We'll get to see, unfortunately, the last title match of that reign. And then, thank God for Batista. Thank God for fucking Batista. So I think it's Unforgiven 2007 that we have to look forward to and get through. And we'll do that, hopefully, when we come back next time. We pray to God there's not anything big happening. So just like cruise on through that. We got a lot done today. I'm very excited. Rob, you are at Rob O'Neill 31. Chris, you are at Chris M. Novak on X. We are at BarberShareNet on X and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarberShareDigital. If you are a Bears fan and you want a vent and you want to let it out, go listen to 79th and Hallis. They will be your emotional drain through, I don't know. I'm dead inside.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
They're worse than last year.
Yeah. And if talking football wasn't hard enough, talking baseball is going to be harder. So, we're going to have a hard conversation about the Cubs, on 4040 Club. That should be coming up, very, very soon. Nothing's good in the world. Everything's just going to shit. But at least we have wrestling, and at least we'll continue to watch wrestling and continue to have a little bit of a break from all of the mess that happened. But anyway, continue to support the Barber Share. This has been Ruthless Aggression for Chris and Rob. I am Pierce. We will see you guys later. Take it easy.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.